You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Good Morning Football is a production of the NFL in partnership with iHeartRadio.
Good Morning Football.
Somebody just said this to me yesterday with no message.
It could be a camera in there.
Oh, it's more Nick.
Can you hold it up to your face?
No, I can't.
Welcome to Good Morning Football, presented by NFL All Day. We are live here in New York City. It's Wednesday, August 17th. I'm Jamie Erdahl, alongside Kyle Brandt, Peter Schrager, and a Super Bowl champion, Jason McCourty. And that is the happiest we have seen Aaron Rodgers this entire month is holding a bust of Nicolas Cage. The second time he was that happy was when he was talking and introducing us to Romeo Dubs, but he's not so happy about that anymore.
No.
All right, it's time for the lead block.
Time for the lead block.
Hey, the Saints and Packers are continuing their joint practices today, but after yesterday's session, Aaron Rodgers spoke to the media about how the offense, and specifically his young receivers, have looked so far in camp.
You know, I didn't think we ran the ball very well, especially outside zone. Thought we threw it pretty good, had some opportunities. A lot of mental errors, a lot of pre-snap penalties. So kind of in the theme of camp, simple plays, we're messing up. The young guys, you know, they got to, especially young receivers, we got to be way more consistent. You know, a lot of drops, a lot of bad route decisions, run the wrong route. We got to get better in that area. I had a conversation with a couple of the young guys about the standard that we're going to hold them to. They are rookies, but they're NFL players, and what's been on film hasn't been good enough as of yet. So there's been some splash plays, but there's been a lot of mistakes.
Now, this is strange in particular because of all of the love that Aaron Rodgers has been bestowing upon his young wide receivers up until yesterday. That's why this stood out so much to us. Now, we've still got a little bit of time before the regular season, but what do we make of this critique that Aaron Rodgers has now delivered upon the offense, specifically to his young wide receivers yesterday?
I enjoyed it. I found myself enjoying it because it was so real and it was so direct and there was zero subtlety. Mm-hmm. I like we've seen a lot of splash plays, mm-hmm. but that's to me is like enough with the Romeo Dubs ticker tape parade. I understand there's been some diving catches. Great. That's not what the position is all about. I need you on 3rd and 9 here, Romeo or Amari or Christian, whatever the hell your name is. I always am amused by Rodgers because he does this every few years. Like the equivalent of him being a master, he's perfected the game. It's as if you raise your children and go through all the frustration and all the heartache and all the late nights. And then when they're like 5 and you're like, I finally got it, poof, they're gone. And new infants come and sit down in front of you. Like, I got to start all over with these guys. I got to go back to diapers. Can you imagine, all 4 of us are parents, can you imagine the frustration of going back to sleep training? That's what he's doing right now. And There was another rant he went on too, where he was, and I'm serious. He was like, he was talking about Aaron Jones and AJ Dillon. He's like, there's a lot of packages we have with the two of them out there, a lot. So if you start to look at that, like, I almost think this young receiver Packers thing is going to become kind of moot, because if you put Dillon and Jones out there with Tanyan, there's two receivers left, and yeah, you got Lazard, and you got maybe Sammy Watkins or Cobb. And in the end of it, like, I don't know if we're going to the field week one and we need a huge play from Romeo Doubs or Christian Watson or whoever. I think he's frustrated, but I think in the end of it, I think it's going to be the old guy still leading the way.
Yeah, without a doubt, especially early on. And I mean, as long as Rodgers is standing up in the offensive meeting room and going off, I'm cool. The stuff in the media, like, okay, if I'm a young receiver, it's bad enough that I maybe did have 10 mental errors or whatever the case may be. But now I got to go in the locker room. Reporter comes up to me, hey, Aaron Rodgers said the young receivers are struggling. Was he talking about you? And it's just like bad enough, but I feel like in the meeting room, we're in the offensive meeting room, the entire offense in it, offensive line, running backs, receivers, all the coaches, Aaron Rodgers stands up and delivers a message and calls guys out. Those guys are going to go home, open up that playbook, watch a little bit more film, study the routes a little bit more, because it hits home, because like you just said, he's a master at what he does. So when he speaks, everybody's going to listen. The wide receivers position coach is going to be on notice when Aaron Rodgers stands up in the meeting room and goes off. So, yes, there's one thing to say it in the media, and Aaron Rodgers has the right to do whatever the heck he wants, as well as he's played MVPs and all of that. But I just feel like it means more when it's in-house, it's in the meeting room. He said, hey, I went to a few of the young receivers and told them, hey, this is the standard. That goes a long way, because it's direct, it's to your face, and you know exactly where he stands, opposed to going on Twitter and seeing your star quarterback go on a rant about you.
And George Pickens looked pretty good for Pittsburgh, huh?
Not bad.
He runs all the right routes. Played at a big school, too. Not coming out of Nevada or North Dakota State. You said he was so real and direct. I felt like this was kind of calculated. It needed a cool-off period. I think he saw a lot of Romeo Doubs talk and fantasy talk. Is everyone's taking Romeo Doubs now as like a second wide receiver. And he was like, for the sake of the young guy, let me level expectations a little bit here. And I think he's right that they probably haven't been running the right routes. And there have been a few splash plays. But he was the one who was throwing praise at him early on. And it reminds me of, you know, I was in a fraternity in college. Like, we build you up, we build you down, then we build you back up again. Like, it's this wave of Rodgers.
Is this Romeo Doubs getting paddled?
Well, I don't want to go that far, and I was not paddled. We were not.
No more rookie hazing.
We didn't do any of that stuff when I was young. but I will say, like, in the same breath where he did that, on the back end of it, he was, like, just glowing with praise about the veteran guys. And I think this all comes in fact. Listen to what he said also. I got the quote here. We didn't have the sound. I feel like a couple will have exceptional seasons. I feel like 13 is going to be one of them. Obviously, I could play with Cobby in my sleep. And when he's healthy, he's a premier slot receiver in the league.
There it is.
Sammy Watkins, I thought, had his best practice. He was making plays. He's a gamer. Those are three guys who are, you know, made men for the most part. And Lazard is still young, but he's expected to take that leap. I remember Rodgers doing this for Marquez Valdez-Scantling a couple of years ago, saying, you know, he makes a splash play, but he's not being consistent. And that lit a fire under Valdez-Scantling. I think the Doubs hysteria had to calm down a little bit. I think Rodgers knew that, and I think for everyone's sake, Green Bay locker room included, it was to let the public know that maybe it's not going to all happen all at once for these young rookies.
Listen, I like coming to work every day and hanging out with you guys because we're equals. We have things in common with each other. Yeah. Like you said, we're all parents. The average age of the wide receiver room in Green Bay is 25 and a half years old. Aaron Rodgers is 38 years old. I just came off of the SEC. I was hanging out with guys 13 years younger than me, too, trying to talk to them on the phone, trying to get stories from them, trying to relate to them. It's hard. No matter how cool, hip, whatever you want to be, how hard you work, it is hard to relate to guys that are that much younger than you. Go to work with them every day and try to demand something from them that you yourself already have that expectation set. The three guys, if you look at those ages that he mentioned in Peter's quote, are the three oldest guys on that screen. Cobb is 31, Sammy Watkins is 29, Alan Lazard is 26. I think there's a direct correlation there between the age and maturity of the player and the expectation that Rodgers has for the wide receiver and those young guys. Remember, it took Jordy Nelson four seasons to become a 1,000-yard receiver. It was 3 years before Devonta Adams even had a 500-yard receiving year. So he did exactly what he wanted us to do, which was he threw threw Romeo Doubs out there, and we just ate it up because we were like, this has never happened. Mm-hmm. Why is he talking about this guy? We talked about him for a week, and then now he's zigging and zagging back to who he wants to throw to, which is those three veteran guys.
Yeah, and I think Kyle hit it. He also had talked about Aaron Jones and A.J. Dillon and the expectation for them. The offense could look much different without Devontae Adams, and it might be a lot of the running backs out of the backfield. And Dillon can catch the ball. You think of him as like this bulldozer, those giant calves, but he can catch the ball. So they might not need Doubs or Watson to go for 500
There's
yards.
There's only a few guys on the field. Tanyan's out there. You have two running backs. It's two receivers. Even if one running back comes off, there's still just three. They're not going five deep. I think this is going to be a team that runs the ball and plays defense. I really do. But bringing it back to the Rodgers thing, it's like you as a wide receiver, you're looked at as like, well, you are lucky. You got to play with Rodgers. Like, that made your whole career. This is what comes with playing with Rodgers. Like, Rodgers is not just always going to be your best friend. He never has been.
For sure.
The MBS thing is perfect. He had a very complicated relationship with Marquez Valdes-Scantling, where I don't think he was his favorite guy, but he's like, I need him, and he's talented. And somebody, depth chart be damned, there's going to be a game where one of these guys has to make a play on 3rd and 12 and go up and get it, and Rodgers is going to put it right where it needs to be, and he's like trying to get there now. You have to be that guy. And I like that he did this now. It's good.
Let's just remember that Tom Brady's not saying this about Julio Jones when he got there. Like, the two of them could just operate perfectly, probably after one practice together. Yeah. So, guys, what do you get when you put James Bond in a bubble bath?
Bubble 07.
Bubble 07. Did you watch the episode last night? Man, he was on fire. It was a good joke. Hard Knocks continued last night with the theme Detroit versus everybody. And there's a rookie linebacker who embodies that idea. His name is Malcolm Rodriguez. Yes. Indeed, it is Rodriguez. But you can call him Rodrigo. Here's a look at number 44.
44 is all over the place. 50-44 right now. 50-44 are keying at a different level right now. Go! Oh, yeah! Hey, I see you, 44! I see you, 44! Safety gonna be there. There you go. I got a rookie that know how to get the shit done. There you go, Malcolm. That's a hell of a job.
I'm telling you right now, this year could be whatever you want it to be. Everything's open for you right now. You got me? You just got to go take it and do it.
Watch Rodriguez. I'm sick of saying this about a rookie. What y'all want me to do, put him out there first? Because that's what's about to happen. And this ain't nothing against you, Rodriguez. Matter of fact, you're playing your ass off, dude. But it's a rookie who I'm doing everything I can not to put out here first.
That is unbelievable motivation. You can stream episode 2 on HBO Max right now. And new episodes of Hard Knocks drop every Tuesday at 10 p.m. Eastern. We look forward to it every week. This season so far, two episodes in, has been unbelievable. It is impossible to not love Detroit right now. And that's coming from somebody who's from Minnesota. It doesn't even hurt that bad to say it. But these Lions are becoming lovable. But how do they go from the lovable Lions to becoming a big team with big characters to someone with no expectations of being contenders in the NFC North? How do they do it?
You saw in that video, Rodrigo, going downhill, making somebody into a bobblehead. That's what the Lions have to do. They're going to have to punch people in the mouth because no one's going to respect them as a team that can actually make some noise.
If anybody missed this, it's Malcolm Rodriguez. He's a sixth-round pick from Oklahoma State, and he was the sensation of the episode.
Sensation. That's all they talked about the entire episode. But Aaron Glenn also talked about for them the expectation to win. Building a winning culture on what that looks like. Going into the game every Sunday, you strap your cleats on, put your helmet on. You know, at the end of this day, we're going to have the most points on that scoreboard and we're going to win the game. It takes time to building that type of winning culture, what they're trying to do there.
You have experienced that particularly in your career. You were on teams that you woke up on Sundays and you thought this is going to be an absolute battle. And then you were on a team that won a Super Bowl. Were the days really different on game days when you woke up and you just knew the outcome was going to be set?
It was different every single day of the week because you're coming in and you're just like, well, why are we making that move? Why are we doing that? That doesn't really make sense.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I think the expectation is different because when I got to New England, we weren't talking about, like, we got to find a way to win a division. It was just like,
sure,
this is what we do.
We're going to win the Super Bowl. We're not even talking about the division. Like, that's going to come along the way. It was winning the Super Bowl. So that expectation changes, and you have to have results in order to develop that.
There's also the logo and the city.
The colors.
Yeah, they haven't won since 57. They've never been to a Super Bowl. Like, this is a downtrodden franchise. And yet, that turn kind of happened at the end of last year. They were winning games at the end of the season, and they fought teams tough. They just couldn't close the deal. They're right there. So you say, okay, they were the number two pick in the draft, but you give me three or four of those, suddenly we're talking about a potential wild card team. And you'd like to think another year under Dan Campbell, another year under this, you know, staff of all these ex-players, and freak things like this won't happen. Week three. I mean, they have them dead and buried.
This
and
is
then the, Lamar has one completion to Sammy Watkins, and then Justin Tucker hits one from 88
yards. It's the crossfire.
You know, it's insane. This is the way that the Lions lost last year. It's the way the Lions lose always. And it's got to change, and you've got to be able to finally put teams away. So when you lose five games by 2 points, all right, let's win three games by 2 points and lose maybe one game by 2 points this year. I don't think the Lions are winning the Super Bowl this year. I don't know if they're making the playoffs, but for them to be more than just this feel-good story, like you've got to close the deal at the end. And they were starting to do that at the end of the season.
I think Aaron Glenn did a smart thing. He talked to the team, and he started pointing out guys in college who had been in national championship games, and they won 13 games and 12 games. He's like, we got to get back to that. I don't know how it's going for you guys. How's your level of Hard Knocks seduction? Because mine is high. What I mean by that is every year I fall in love with the Hard Knocks team and think they're going to win the Super Bowl. We watch this again. All right, Amon-Ra St. Brown is going to have 1,800 yards. Rodrigo's going to be defensive rookie of the year. Jared Goff's going to be the MVP. I fall in love with the team because there's slow motion and music. But let's look at the history because it doesn't always work out. Last year's Cowboys was pretty standard Cowboys season. The Rams 10-6 in the last year of Goff. No, Chargers, Raiders, Browns. That was Baker Mayfield's rookie year, and that seemed like that was a Jameis Winston Buccaneers team went 5-11. The first time a Jeff Fisher Rams. I thought that team had something. They're gonna run Todd Gurley, and no, 4-12.
William Hayes went to the Dinosaur Park every day.
The Dinosaur Bones. And then that was a J.J. Watt Texans team that was 9-7. Actually, it usually doesn't work out great, but right now, oh man. Unless all the dreams come true, I still think they're going to need more. I'm kind of with you, Peter. It's not fair, but I look at those blue uniforms and I'm like, ugh. It's just they need a rebrand. They need a whole renaissance because it's just, what did you say, 1957?
57.
That's insane. So the X's and O's of this answer are just the fact that Peter's point, they have to finish games. They got to sweep the Bears. They got to split with the Vikings and the Packers at least. And I think those are all things that can be accomplished. But I feel like I need their quarterback. I need their quarterback to be the main character of this show. I think I'm counting 100 words that I've heard from Jared Goff in these episodes. And I understand that this is the magic of television and this is editing. But he is not producing a compelling story for the Hard Knocks producers to put him on the episode time and time again. What is happening? He looked great in that 2-minute drill. He's out there supporting his backup quarterback when times were tough. Respect it, appreciate it. But Jared Goff, I really want you to turn a corner here. This is what the team needs in order for you to be able to close games in the division, to have a respectable season that we all say, hang our hats on, and you break the trend of Hard Knocks teams that have the season after we all fall in love with them. Jared Goff here is going to be the difference, and I'm waiting. This is second episode. I'm like, oh, there he is. What's he going to say? Oh, shoot. Okay, that wasn't it. There he is again. What's he going to say?
He's somewhere watching film, preparing.
All right. Mm-hmm.
Jamie, we've got 32 quarterbacks on a list here for fantasy football.
Yeah.
Just a guess. Where do you think Jared Goff is?
Well, in the bottom half?
Yeah, bottom half. 26 out of 32. Mm-hmm. That should light a fire under him, right?
There we go. It should.
As you said, this is Goff's third Hard Knock season. HBO knows what's up.
You go into your shower feeling tired. But as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day. And smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. We're now joined by 3-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, elite bucket getter. Let's please welcome Jamal Crawford to Point Game. King of the Court one-on-one tournament. If they had it back in your prime, do you think you could have took it all?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I could have took it all, but I think I would have shocked a lot of people. I think Kobe and everybody in their prime, Kobe would win a one-on-one contest.
Yeah, because you got to think, he's going to guard. He don't care about guarding.
He's going to guard.
He's going to guard. Like, you see him in the Olympics, he's going to guard. And then on top of it.
Like that. See that?
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Cassell to Point Game.
I remember you came to my room crying tears. I mean, he was in a culture shock. He's going to withdraw us about winning.
Remember what I told you? I said, OG, you think I can get paid and go back and play in college because it ain't me?
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning, football!
We're going to talk about them, the 49ers and the Vikings. They're holding joint practices today and tomorrow in Eagan, Minnesota, ahead of their preseason matchup on Saturday night. These two teams are both pretty legit contenders in the NFC. But their quarterbacks are quite different in terms of experience. Trey Lance is entering his first season as an NFL starter. It'll be season 11 for Kirk Cousins with a couple of Pro Bowls under his belt. Despite how they got here, though, they're both pretty pivotal players for their teams going into the season. And they both have a fascination capability heading into this season and how they could mold their legacy and their career and with their teams moving forward. So which one of these quarterbacks has a more fascinating season ahead of them, Trey or Kirk?
Fascinating.
Fascinating.
Extremely interesting. So who am I extremely interested in?
Go on.
Trey Lance. Mm-hmm. I mean, his ability to make plays all over the field is what I want to see. This guy has the ability. You don't draw this up. And I think Kyle Shanahan, one of the best offensive minds in the NFL, has been able to design things, but he hasn't had a quarterback like Trey Lance with the ability to just jump around the pocket, take off, and pick up 10, 12, 15 yards of first down to move the chains. We saw this guy make some incredible throws in the preseason. We're seeing him scramble here last season. You cannot plan for these things. So defensive coordinators now, as they're getting ready for Kyle Shanahan, there's the unknown that you have to prepare for when it comes to Trey Lance. You didn't have that with Jimmy G. Kyle Shanahan's best quarterback was probably Matt Ryan. Extremely good, talented quarterback, but a pocket passer. Look at his throw outside the pocket on the money to Deebo Samuel.
That's a rope.
These are the type of plays that are fascinating. These are fascinating plays. This is what I want to see from Trey Lance this upcoming season. This is what I expect to see from him and this 49ers
really
offense.
Driving home the question there. Fascinating.
Fascinating.
And it's like he was just being thrown out there, too. That's with one game played at North Dakota State the previous year because of the COVID-shortened season and because of other issues he has had with, you know, the experience at the Minnesota level and going, obviously, to North Dakota State. I'm also going Trey Lance.
Yes.
And what fascinates me is that they chose this, that they traded up all the picks, but that they chose Trey Lance over Jimmy Garoppolo. And we might have rose-colored glasses on Jimmy Garoppolo's playoff run last year.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go back to those games. Let's go back to those amazing victories in Dallas and Green Bay.
Okay.
Jimmy was a walking heart attack in some of these games with the passes. Just so many times where he would throw the ball and it should have been picked.
Oh, no.
And it wasn't picked or it was picked. I don't think Jimmy had his best days in those games. There were about four or five of them in those two games. Then against the Rams, like, the slipper, like, finally didn't fit anymore. And, you know, the carriage became a pumpkin. What's the reference? I don't even know.
That was it.
That was it.
Yeah.
It felt right. So now you think, okay, if Trey can do some of the stuff that you did and he doesn't make the mental errors that Jimmy was prone to doing down the stretch there and got away with in many cases, are the Niners the best team in the NFC? And suddenly you start thinking that way because the NFC is so wide open. Position for position, I think the 49ers are as good as anybody. Quarterback's the big question. That's what makes them so fascinating.
Hmm.
I think he's unbelievably fascinating, too. And I find this fascinating, too. Over the last seven seasons, a long time, you know who has the most 40-plus yard touchdown passes in the entire NFL? Kirk Cousins. It's not Patrick Mahomes. It's not Aaron Rodgers. It's Tom Brady. It's Kirk Cousins, and it's not close. What's this year going to be like for Cousins? Could this be like a really special year in the sense that we got a new head coach and we have the best receivers and running back and we're going to light it up and throw for 5,000 and win 12 games? And are people ready for that? I'm always fascinated by the public and the media's relationship with Kirk Cousins. And they love to hate him. And sometimes he brings it on himself. Sometimes he doesn't. I sometimes think that if Kirk Cousins was just Matt Ryan or just someone who just basically just shuts up and doesn't make any waves, that people would have a different opinion of him. But the problem is, Kirk Cousins is a goober. Self-admittedly, that's their guy right there.
Right.
Can you get behind that? If he throws for 70 touchdowns, can you still say, yeah, that's my guy? I think you struggle with it. Do you know last year, I'm just going to go stats.
and throws downfield, like longer than 10.
As we're looking at this picture,
you're going to go stats. Yeah. The stats, that's one of one. That's the statistic. Downfield throws. He was the best in the NFL in passer rating and accuracy. Like, he's excellent. And I think he's been held back by the Zimmer experience and the Zimmer relationship. I just want to know if everybody's ready, because I think it's coming. I feel very bullish on the Vikings this year. Mm. I think that they are going to do huge things. Are you ready for Kirk Cousins to be one of the main stories in the NFL? It's coming, and he's still going to go listen to Creed. He's still going to go to Outback Steakhouse and pay with a gift card. It's still going to be it. So if that bothers you that much, you better adjust, because I think it's coming, and I think that's fascinating.
I hope so. Listen, it's not even, when I was thinking about this question, because I picked Kirk Cousins too, it's not even that this is like a make or break situation for him, because he is made. Kirk Cousins is a made man. He's made his money. He has the potential, though, to become one of these quarterbacks that made an insane amount of money, but his entire career could just be about that picture with the sunburn. And that's what he is remembered for. He is teetering on the brink here of us not using the word fascinating when we talk about Kirk Cousins. He is the answer to his own question this season. And for me, the problem is, those are great stats, and I respect him, and I'm glad that he's doing it for the Vikings. My issue is this stat that I found, which is in the final 2 minutes of halves last season, the Vikings did not score a single touchdown.
Okay.
They went 6-for-7 on field goals. They had to pump the ball away 7 times. They gave it away 1 time. I mean, 2-minute offense. Like, we heard it in Hard Knocks last night. That is where a team is evaluated. That is where a team is made, and a team wins games. And if that's how Kirk Cousins is going to handle his business in the final 2 minutes of halves last season, it has to change. And this is it. This is it for him in terms of the talent that he is surrounded by. He doesn't get to say that it's because he's under Zimmer's thumb anymore. Mm-hmm. He has this new head coach that is allowing Justin Jefferson to say, I'm always open. I'm so excited to be in this offense. And Kirk Cousins, for as talented as he is, he is the one that can make the difference, and he can be fascinating. This is it. I feel like this is his season. He's got to change. He's got to change how the Vikings finish games.
As you talked about Kirk Cousins, all I could think about was him going into the locker room yelling, how you like me now?
You like that?
I like that.
You like that?
You like that?
Yeah.
I'm fired up for him. Did you choose Kirk Cousins?
I chose Kirk Cousins. No, I just was proving the point that it's his potential this season is more fascinating to me. Then you just wanted me to use the word fascinating, didn't you? It's more fascinating because Trey Lance, he has a clean slate. Like, his potential here is whatever he wants to make it. Kirk Cousins has already kind of made his bed, and I need him to rough it up a little bit to make sure that we know that he is as good of a quarterback as people like to say.
There's a sliding doors factor this week, because Kyle Shanahan is going to be the coach for the 49ers, and they were together in Washington. And when Shanahan first got to the Niners, the assumption was, wait a year and Cousins will bring him in as a free agent. Mm-hmm. Then he gets franchise tagged by Washington, and then the Vikings give him this deal, and they had already gotten Garoppolo. Like, Kyle Shanahan, it was always like the eye in the sky was at some point he'd finally get Cousins and they'd reunite. He's Minnesota, and now they've got their guy. It's pretty interesting.
Let me put a cap on that. Are you telling me if you go back in time that you don't think Washington would rather keep Kirk Cousins? Absolutely. Pay him a long-term deal. They got 1 year in the playoffs, which was a ridiculous 7-9 seasons. After that, it's been disaster after disaster. If they had kept Kirk Cousins, they'd be in better shape.
Nine starting quarterbacks in the last 3 seasons for the Washington Commanders. 100 through 51.
Yeah.
Those are the players that are coming up on the top 100 this Sunday afternoon. We're seeing how the rest of this list unfolded. It was pretty cool to see some of the new guys come in on 100 to 51. And again, the players vote. The list comes out, and it's nominated by the guys that are in the league with them. So who will be number one coming up this weekend, the top 100 players of 2022 presented by Truly continues this Sunday at 4:30 p.m. Eastern right here on NFL Network. Game-changing, game-altering players, those are the kind of guys that land on the top 100. And two names that definitely come to mind when you consider players like that are Cowboys linebacker Micah Parsons and Bengals wide receiver Ja'Marr Chase. Mm-hmm. They both had huge rookie seasons in 2021, and we can only hope that both of them earn their spot on the NFL top 100 players list of 2022. We think that so much so that we're going to talk, it's just given for us. It's a given for us here. So who do we think will rank higher between these two second-year players on the list, Ja'Marr Chase or Micah Parsons?
I love them both. I think Micah Parsons has done a disservice to every defensive player coming out of the draft for the next 10 years. Everyone's like, well, he could be a Micah Parsons. He can't. Like, that guy is special. And yet, Ja'Marr Chase, for all the thousands of great wide receivers we've seen in this league, I don't know if anyone's ever had a better debut season. And in big spots. Remember last year, in a late window, they played the 49ers in a game. And 49ers actually won this game, but this was a Ja'Marr Chase, pretty much like, I'm going to take over this game and find a way to win for us. But just insane what he did. And then against the Chiefs, where he had 3 scores and basically torched a defending AFC champion, said, I'm going to do this again to you if I can. I think Ja'Marr Chase did it on the biggest of spots, did it in the playoffs, and did it on high-profile games. The Cowboys lost high-profile games. Mm-hmm. I think the players saw what Ja'Marr Chase was doing in those big games. I'm going to go Ja'Marr Chase over Parsons.
The knock on the position as a wide receiver is that you yourself cannot physically take over the game the way that you want to, the way that perhaps a linebacker
sure. can,
and Micah Parsons. And when we've talked about, and it's been shoved down our throats all offseason, is this top five wide receiver, this, that. Ja'Marr Chase is kind of flirting around the 4 or 5 spot on all of these lists. Micah Parsons is the best player at his position. He will rank higher than Ja'Marr Chase in the top 100 that's coming out this weekend in players 1 through 50. He was the defensive rookie of the year, runaway defensive rookie of the year. It wasn't even a conversation really for anybody else the rest of the season. 13 sacks. Mm-hmm. He was easily an all-pro. Just, he's terrifying. And he alters games in the way quarterbacks feel about how they're supposed to operate their offense on any given Sunday.
Jamie, that's your opinion, and it's a strong one, and I respect it. The nature of this question is, what are the players' opinions going to be? If True. Jamie was voting, he'd be way up there. But these, what do the players think? That's, we have to guess what they think. Mm-hmm. And I think it's going to be Ja'Marr Chase. I think it's going to be a pretty sizable gap. Remember, Ja'Marr Chase made the playoff run. The Dallas Cowboys were one and done. Ja'Marr Chase is in the Super Bowl. The players are at home watching the Super Bowl, watching the playoffs. I think it's going to be Chase, and I'm going to make a prediction. I think it's going to be the highest debut in the top 100 ever.
Wow.
I think after Saquon's rookie year, after Justin Jefferson's.
Chase Young had a big one.
Chase Young had a massive one. I think Ja'Marr Chase, the other Chase, will have the highest debut ever. I think he'll be a good 20, 25 slots ahead of Parsons.
I'm going to respectfully disagree with you. I'm going with Micah Parsons as well. This guy had MVP votes. Defensive player of the year votes. Yes, he was defensive rookie of the year. Chase was that on the offensive side.
Unanimous defensive rookie of the year.
Unanimous. And they talked about this guy as defensive player of the year as a rookie. And I think players recognize that. When you have a guy that just stepped foot in the league, we heard Calvin Shepard say it for the Detroit Lions on Hard Knocks last night. He said, I am doing everything in my power not to put this rookie as a starter. When a guy shows up as a rookie and we're talking about him as the best defensive player in our league, players take notice of that and they respect that. So I think Micah Parsons is going to be ranked higher than Ja'Marr Chase. I mean, the guy was insane his rookie year.
It's a tricky question because it's unfair because you're comparing positions that really have such a different effect on the field, and their only basis for comparison is the fact that they're both coming in to their second year. But wide receiver, so is your argument that is he going to be what is he going to be like the second ranked highest wide receiver?
I think Ja'Marr Chase on the top 100 is going to be 21. I think it's going to be number 21.
Now we're just picking numbers.
21. I think it's 21 for spread. Yeah.
I like him in the 40s.
Yeah. Absolutely. In the 40s? That's good.
All right. Don't miss Micah Parsons. He's going to be in action on NFL Network today. We're going to bring you live coverage of Cowboys and Chargers joint practices. Coverage begins at 1 p.m. Eastern later today.
You go into your shower feeling tired. But as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day. And smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. We're now joined by 3-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, elite bucket getter. Let's please welcome Jamal Crawford to Point Game. King of the Court one-on-one tournament. If they had it back in your prime, do you think you could have took it all?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I could have took it all, but I think I would have shocked a lot of people. I think Kobe and everybody in their prime, Kobe would win a one-on-one contest.
Because you got to think, he's going to guard. He don't care about guarding.
He's going to guard.
He's going to guard. Like, you see him in the Olympics, he's going to guard. And then on top of that.
I'm like that, see that?
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Cassell to Point Game.
I remember you came out from
crying tears. I mean, he was in a culture shock. He's going to withdraw us about winning.
Remember what I told you? I said, OG, you think I can get paid and go back and play in college because it ain't it?
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Cowboys are out in L.A. today to take part in the first of two joint practices with the Chargers. So let's focus on the Dallas side of things, shall we? Because if you take a look at how they were ranked last season, they're near the top of the league on both sides of the ball in a lot of major categories that you think would have major impacts on how their season goes. Yet when we break it down in the NFC, it's still the big three teams, Rams, Bucks, Packers. And then there's quite the drop-off. So should the Cowboys be considered one of the NFC power teams? Should we change it to the Forceful Four or anything like that? Are they deserving?
No. You have to earn it, right? And they haven't. I know that we could talk about them more than any other team in the league, and we do that very well. But how do you put them above the 49ers right now? The 49ers went to the NFC Championship game. 49ers have maybe the best offensive tackle and defensive lineman in the league when you talk about what they have with Trent Williams and Bosa. I've got the Niners, even with Trey Lance, way above the Cowboys going into the season. I've got another team in the NFC beyond those three and the Niners. I think the Arizona Cardinals had a more impressive season than the Dallas Cowboys last year. I know the Cardinals didn't win the division. They were 7-0 before injuries ravaged their season, and they limped to the end and have obviously had their bad playoff loss. But I love that we talk Cowboys. I think it's important. I think they're a great fan base, and they've got the star and the helmet and the logo and all that stuff. But when you're talking about the most penalized team in the league, a team that coughed up a playoff game at home last year yet again, and a team that has been a lot of hype and a lot of buzz over the last few years but hasn't developed on the promise, I can't put them in that power conversation. Packers win playoff games most years. Buccaneers win playoff games most years. And the Rams have won the Super Bowl. Those three teams are head and shoulders above the Cowboys right now. I'm sorry.
Let's look at the playoff games that the Cowboys have won in the past, who knows, 25 seasons. They're trying to get better. I'm not going to crush the Cowboys. This isn't the segment where you just say, oh, the Cowboys suck. No, they're a good football team.
They're good.
They're fine.
But when we talk about the top teams in the NFC, no, they're not there. You're almost just like, you see, you're like, hey, we're going to talk Cowboys at the beginning of the 9 o'clock hour. And you're just like, do we have to? Mm-hmm. Haven't we said everything that we need to say about the Cowboys? I grew up a Cowboys fan. The Emmitt Smith, the Troy Aikmans, the Michael Irvins, winning Super Bowls. I won $5 off my mom when they beat the Pittsburgh Steelers in the Super Bowl when I was a kid. I still have that $5. No, I don't. But the Cowboys, they're a good football team. They're going to be good in the regular season. But the biggest question is going to be, what do they do when the postseason starts? Are they able to win those games? Are they able to beat the good teams in the NFL? And they just haven't done that. They haven't done that enough for us to say, hey, they're one of the top four teams in the NFC. And like you said, Peter, there's other teams that are vying for that spot that we don't know that we're putting the Cowboys above them.
We don't. I don't even know what we're talking about. Power team, that is a made-up term. I've never heard that before. It's as if we got together in a boardroom and said, let's come up with a new way to talk about
open the thesaurus on how to say
let's toss the ball around, and now it's your turn. Power team.
No wrong ideas.
No, they're just everybody. This is in a safe space. We need to talk. Are they a power team? What are you talking about? All right, you mentioned Rams and Bucks and Packers. That's the team. Like, the Cowboys are the Udonis Haslam to that group. Like, it's just, they're there all the time. But, like, are they necessarily contributing? And also, like, even just that example we came up with, those three teams, they never beat any of those teams. Mm-hmm. Rodgers owns them. They got stomped in the playoffs by the Rams, the Jared Goff Rams. They lost to the Bucks. They lose the Bucks. What are we talking? I think more importantly, like they might be in, like, I look at the Cowboys, like, they're kind of like in the Vikings class. But even the Vikings were in a title game with Case Keenum as their quarterback. Just, this is all you need to know. The Dallas Cowboys have not been to a title game since 1995, the same year the Jacksonville Jaguars started as a franchise. The Jaguars, who get disrespected and crapped on and ignored, have been to three title games in that time. The Cowboys, the power team, fake term, is a zero. So we're still here, and we're still trying. And guess what? They're going to be good this year. They're going to win 10 games or 11 games. Blah, 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 blah. Yeah. So, no, they're not a power team. Yeah. No, they're not. Are you going to say yes, Jay?
No, Oh, my God. No.
I would have been so disrespectful to you. I'm sorry.
I was waiting for you to take a breath before I was able to, I guess, quadruple down on everything we just said about them.
Some segment.
Which I know. They just terrible. But they could. But they haven't beaten teams, like you said, they haven't beaten good teams when it matters. It was the playoff teams that they faced last season. They were 3-5 against those teams. Teams that made the playoffs, 3-5. Against non-playoff teams, 9-1. Good job. You're winning games. On the record books, it looks great. You won double-digit wins. But you're not playing in and winning meaningful games when it matters. And the playoff game they had last season is case in point as to why they are so frustrating and why we are always talking about them in this capacity in August. Those other big three, all right, I'll shift from power team to the big three, Packers, Rams, and Bucks. They've all played in a conference championship game in the last 2 years. And I said it, I won't even mention what year it was the last time the Cowboys, because I feel like it's just, it hurts every time we have to say it. And I know it hurts Cowboys fans. They're going to be good, but like, give us a reason why we're still talking about them next August and we're not all quadrupling down on the fact that, no, they are not a power team.
And clean it up. Like, it's not a fun product to watch when you have 129 yards of penalties in the preseason debut after last year in the playoffs. I think that's what it is. It's frustrating for us. And I know we seem exasperated because we're on the show a lot and we talk Cowboys a ton and they're not worthy of the same level of conversation maybe the Rams and the Chiefs and the Bills get on the show. And yet it's because of the sloppiness, because of the coach and the time management sometimes. Like, it's almost like, you know, they can be better and you know that they deserve to be discussed. This and then good. Plays like this happen and you're like, well, that wasn't the right play call and it wasn't the right execution. And they probably thought there was a tight end. I don't even know like what happened here. It's the expectations never are fulfilled.
Mm-hmm. And frankly, it's not even like the questions that we are surrounding the Cowboys with is like, what are they going to do with the pass rush? What are they going to do with their offensive line? They have good players. They have talented players. So that's why these questions, these questions that kind of are this cloud of uncertainty surrounding this team and how good they could be. That's why they're so frustrating, because it's not, it's about game management and mental mistakes and not about the pure talent that they have on the field.
I think as far as the Cowboys fan base, you know, I've done this rant about 5 times in the last 6 months and it goes out there. And the common response that I get is, Cowboys fan here, no lies detected. Yeah. You know, he's spitting facts. Like, this guy, what can I say? It's all facts. And I always come out like, I don't have anything wrong with the Cowboys as a team. They should be talked about as one of 32. But this idea that they're this championship standard and the cream of the crop is an idea from the 90s. It's just not a thing. It's a thing that we were little kids for. I do think the Dak Prescott portion of it is interesting because, look, Dak mirrors the Cowboys in many ways in this sense that I like Dak and I respect him, but, like, he's very, very good. He's not quite the best, and he's kind of cool, and he's in a lot of commercials, and he's really famous, and he makes a lot of money, and I have respect for him, but, like, he's still just not that top, top, top guy, and I don't think the Cowboys are either. We're just going to keep doing it until they win a Super Bowl or get to a title game.
They weren't under Romo. They weren't under Wade Phillips. It's been 2 decades of that.
I know.
Let's call a spade too. In our industry of sports media, it is understood that it is a good thing when the Dallas Cowboys are good. It is a good thing when the Dallas Cowboys are on
richest
national TV.
In the league.
It's a good thing when the Yankees are in the postseason, when the Lakers are there, when the New York Rangers are there. We get it. So give us a gift. Give us a reason why we're doing this. And there's a reason why that is kind of the unspoken rule of sports television, is that it is watchable, good viewership TV, but they haven't delivered in 20 plus years.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
Get in zone, AutoZone.
Welcome to AutoZone. What are you working on today?
My car really needs a wash.
The $20 Meguiar's bundle includes Gold Class Car Wash for a showroom shine.
Get in zone.
And what about my tires?
Just spray the included Hot Shine tire coating and you're all set.
Get in the zone. The inside is not great.
No problem. The quick interior detailer in the bundle can help with that too. Get in the zone. AutoZone. Restrictions apply.